Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host, and with me today I have Michelle Reinhardt. Now, hold on to your hats. Michelle has got a ton of different talents. Michelle is a quantum tour guide, spiritual mentor, intuitive spiritual healer, personal trainer, and mindset energy master coach, and the creator of the Self and Soul Mastery for Abundance Seekers. She's the creator of the Entrepreneurs Globally Unite online community and podcast, as well as the WellPoint Hypnosis, as well as a WellPoint Hypnosis practitioner. I told you, going to hang on to your hats. This is going to be an amazing interview. This lady has got so many different talents and so much information to share. Now, Michelle is a passionate advocate for sacred economics, which some of these terms you're going to thinking, what are they? And so we're going to got a lot to talk about. And Michelle is what she likes to call herself a fire starter, and meaning that she loves striking a spark and igniting a flame within the soul and nurturing it into a roaring fire. Don't you just love the sound of that? Welcome, Michelle. That's just such an exciting little list of things. I don't know where to start.
Thank you, Janine. Thank you so very much for having me. I got goosebumps when you read that out. Sometimes we're a little bit overwhelmed by all of the things that we've done in our lives, aren't we?
Well, and yes, and when you start listing it like that, you recognise that you have a lot of talent. And that's what a lot of people don't do, isn't it? When you start writing down all the skills and talents that you have, that you don't recognise just what you can offer and what you can do. So, Michelle, that there's obviously a lot of spiritual background in what you do, and we'll talk a lot about that. But I know that, you know, there's certain beliefs, obviously, that fit into what you're doing that you have. So do you want to share that?
I would love to. The years of spiritual work culminates to about 35 years on my behalf, with a break there to raise two adorable girls. I believe with a passion that each of us have all that we need within us. When we stop seeking and looking outside of ourselves for the answers, and we disattach from the bright shiny objects and go within, that's when the real magic begins. And I love to think of us all as a piece of a huge giant puzzle. And when we can truly, as a community, as a globe, unite in love and harmony, we each place our own piece of uniqueness into the puzzle, and that's when we can shift our world back into alignment and love, and that is what really fires my soul.
I like that definition that you've got, that we're all part of a giant puzzle, because so many people often feel very lost and disjointed and separate from the rest of the world. But if you're looking at that we're all part of a puzzle, then that means that we're all then interconnected, doesn't it? So that sense of loss or separateness really doesn't need to exist.
Absolutely, and we are all separated at birth from that part of us that is linked to the divine, the universe, whatever your word is for that. And I believe that to be the most powerful and potent part of our existence is to reconnect to that forgotten knowledge. And I believe that we all will have to do it at some stage or another, and it's our own timing, it's divine timing, it's something that can't be rushed.
And so what's the advantage of then connecting with that?
Of feeling like you belong, of feeling complete, of having access to your inner wisdom, your inner guidance, your team in spirit, of being connected genuinely back into our ancient roots. And that oneness that you feel when you are connected is quite exceptional. I felt very lost for a very good part of my life, and realized that that feeling of being lost was complete disconnection with my soul.
And that's a point, isn't it? Because where, you know, a lot of people are so focused on the here and now and the, you know, what they have as opposed to who they are and where they've come from and where they're going too as well.
Agree. Absolutely, yeah. Agree. It's all, I see a lot of what's going on around us apart from the very fact that of the present now, which is all we really ever have. The rest is just quite an illusion. It's just going on and making lots of noise and trying to keep us distracted from the truth.
So let me just go back to some of those titles. Quantum Tour Guide. So please explain that one.
This is a new title.
I'm
going to
hit you up all of these. You know that, don't you?
That's fine. That's fine. This is my favorite. I play with my clients in the quantum field. The quantum field is that field where time and space is collapsed and there is no illusion. It is real and it is real time. So the quantum field, in the quantum field lies every desire, goal, dream that we hold, that our soul holds, that we may not even consciously be aware of. And by playing in the energy within the quantum realm, we can align to all of that and bring it back into our present, providing it's, of course, aligned with our the greater good for all. Okay, so we just play. It's fun.
Yeah, so that then, does it bring clarity into, say, let's work on the word goals. Mm. Does it bring clarity into the goals, or do they, or and or does it then become part of who we are? So you don't want to use the word ingrained, but they are us. Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah. Look, within the soul consciousness realm, which I work with the WellPoint hypnosis and the quantum tour guide aspect, we can go into parallel realities, we can go into past lives, and it helps people to really tap into why patterns are repeating, what we're needing to learn. We're also able to go into the Akashic records, into past lives, and learn why, for example, we might have a vow of poverty or scarcity and we've not released that. So we bring that into this life and we have to heal that and work it through. Now, working in the quantum field with me as your tour guide, I can actually work directly with your higher self. So the healing is rapid. We don't have to go back and do all of the regression stuff, because our energies are way past there now. Things are moving super duper fast. We need to just be aware of what's coming up, acknowledge it, release it, and then receive in the new energies, which are peace, abundance, love, joy. Much, much nicer than struggle and hardship.
So certainly are. They feel nice, don't they, naturally as well?
They do. They do. If you feel into the vibration as I speak those words, you feel uplifted, as opposed to heavy. And that's what we've got to do. And in life, once we start to align and recognize that what we want or desire is a better word. I don't try not to use the word want or need, because that's putting us in a position of lack. What we desire is already there waiting for us to vibrationally align with it and accept that we deserve it. And then we can have it. Until people learn how to actually navigate energy, vibration, and frequencies, that becomes quite elusive to many, many people.
Okay. And some people would just do that quite naturally, wouldn't they? They just, for some reason that they can't identify, everything just flows and it comes along. And they may not be, you know, even aware of this terminology, but that's where they are and that's where they're present. Whereas other people, particularly the people that you'd be working with, be struggling, and that helps them connect. Do you find that there's some people are just automatically working there without,
yeah,
any little struggle, you know, everything just seems to flow well for them.
Yes, it does, because they're not introducing any contradictory vibrations. By that, I mean they believe 100% wholeheartedly that life is easy and flows. Mm-hmm. So it does for them. But most of us have brought a whole suitcase full of baggage of negative belief systems, patterns. Most of us were told when we were kids that, you know, we can't afford that. Money doesn't grow on trees, all these sorts of things. So when it comes to abundance, that's the story that's playing in our background. Whereas if you were raised with a silver spoon in your mouth, that's just what you expect of life, and that's what you get because that's your expectation.
Mm. And, you know, that's really interesting. I was watching something on TV this morning, and they were talking about, you know, different communities, and in particular it was in Australia, and how that, you know, certain communities produce more wealthy people, more politicians, more, you know, more higher educated groups than other areas. And yes, it's easier if you've had that as your background to, yeah, it is easier. I'm going to say, yes, it is easier if you've had your background that yeah, naturally you will achieve because you can, as opposed to we're never going to get out of this hole type of attitude.
Spot
and
on.
So, yeah, so that reinforces that then, doesn't it? So it keeps people in that space because that's what they've always done and that's what they've always known. And but it's not just as much as that, it's what they believe within themselves is all that's limiting possibilities.
That's right. And it's those habitual patterns and habits that play subconsciously in our mind. I find it fascinating that we have a thing in our brain called a reticular activating system, and it's a filter.
I love the RAS.
Yeah, the RAS attack. It's a filter, yeah. And it only allows 3% of new information into our existence as truth. So our brain is constantly searching and seeking for a match for information that comes in, and if it's new, it usually gets filtered out. So the need for repetition and that conscious awareness and catching yourself, your thoughts, your feelings, your habits, your beliefs, your behaviors, if you want to shift your life, that's exactly where you have to start. Because right from a very young age, we are told who we are. And if you were lucky and that was positive and reinforced beautifully, your life will be fairly easy. If it wasn't, and I don't mean any disrespect to beautiful, well-meaning parents, siblings, grandparents, anything like that, they do the best they can. But if that reinforcement was along the lines of you're a selfish kid or you'll never go anywhere in life, or, you know, your brother struggled so you'll struggle, then they, as a little kid, we take that on as our truth, and then we spend the rest of our life trying to prove it right. And it's actually completely wrong, because at birth we are perfect in every sense of the way.
And yeah, and
yeah, it's all messed up. It's all messed up.
Yeah, yeah, and it and getting into that soul space of it, you know, there's a whole lot of, you know, I've interviewed some amazing people who've got a whole lot of techniques to help people change their perspective on things and improve their lives. But getting into that soul space is probably the deepest connection that you can get to, rather than working on superficial as well. And I know a lot of people I've worked with have spoken to do it on a deeper level as well, but I think that's why they've got great results and you get great results, because it's done on that much deeper level.
And it's done once and for all. It's once we get in there and we reprogram from a higher self and soul perspective, that becomes your new truth. And I back it up a lot with muscle testing with clients as well. So we run through a whole heap of belief systems and they prove positive to them, which is why they're in the strife that they are in. Once we run through the hypnosis sessions, we then test again. And for a while there, their body is still because the brain's trying to find the patterns and the habits and they're just not there. So they test backwards. And it's fascinating because then it's proof to the client on a conscious and subconscious level that that habit has been removed. What has to happen next is the change in the mindset because, look, I can do a magnificent healing on someone, yet if they go in and do life exactly the same way they did it before, they're going to reattract all that.
Mm. Yes, and that's the thing, isn't it? So that becomes more of a conscious change then as well. Mm. Yeah, so working on both
levels. It does. And that's when I say to people all the time, I can't fix you, but I can absolutely walk beside you whilst you fix yourself.
Mm.
And together we can make the shifts and the changes that are necessary. But it's a personal game, this one. You can't expect anyone else to do that work for you. And I say it all the time, until we are willing to go within, there are many aspects of our life that we will go without.
Okay.
So I like that.
Can you repeat that again? Until
we will go without until we're willing to go within.
Okay, yeah. And that's really
that's a quote from Rumi.
Okay. That's really strong statement though too, isn't it?
Mm.
Because it is. We have to I work with a lot of people who are trying to make, you know, significant changes in their lives and in their businesses in particular. And it's really connecting down on a different level rather than just doing the tasks and learning new things. And, you know, I see a lot of people come out who've got things that they are training people in. But again, it's that superficial level as opposed to making, you know, really significant changes. Yeah.
The difference that the flick switch for me is I literally can watch clients when they get out of their head and they get into their heart.
Mm.
And when we start to feel things in our lives, because the universe doesn't speak English, it speaks frequency.
Mm. Yeah.
So when we start to tune into how we feel about things and we know whether it feels right, then go for it. If it feels wrong, leave it. Then we start to make the intuitive decisions that are always right. You know yourself, how many times do you get the goosebumps? And we had them yesterday when we were talking, or the other day, when we realized that we're both podcast hosts and we can swap podcasts. We both broke out in goosebumps. And it's like, oh, you can't, the goosebumps never lie. And you just got to follow that feeling, follow what makes you feel good, and you will always be on track. It's when we try and push and shove and box things that should never be put in a box that we struggle.
Mm. Yes, it's, and you want that flow and you want that synchronicity and you want that intuitiveness. I know we chatted when we were speaking the other day about intuitiveness as well, so I want to bring that into the conversation. But, you know, what feels right and hanging with the people that make us feel right and comfortable as well. And I know sometimes that's really hard, you know, that you may be feeling obligated to other people to have them as part of your group or part of your connection, but for some reason it just doesn't feel right. And whereas others feel so beautifully comfortable to be around, and you can't put your finger on it, but there's something there. And it's not just then with people, but it's an action or you know what you're going to work through your business and do particular things, or you're going to do a course, and all of a sudden it you may jump into something, but then it doesn't feel right. It's listening to that, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. And when you come across those people that you just fall deeply into connection with, I like to use the terms, they become your soul family, and you can travel with them, and you do create a whole new circle once you step into your own personal spiritual awakening and ascension. You step into that space where, unfortunately, we do tend to leave a lot of people behind. And that's okay, because as the old saying goes, you know, some people are here for a good time, not a long time. And being able to accept that is quite exceptional, because then you're allowing yourself to grow and allowing the old acquaintances, those that have got you to where you are, which are obviously beautiful souls and they've played their part in your life, but we've got to also make space for the new and for those new soul connections and those new teachers and guides. Even our spiritual guides don't necessarily stay the same. We get new ones as we evolve.
Yes, making space. That's really important, making space for new connections, because and people may have heard the people come into our lives for a reason or a season or a lifetime. And what is that purpose in that? And I'm a collector of people, and I found that really difficult a while, until I had a little more realization about how things were pulling me back by fiercely holding on to those connections, and realized that wasn't the way to grow myself. And it is difficult to let go of what feels safe at the time, but recognizing that for our own personal growth, it's not the best way forward. It's to still hang with, be around those people.
Do you know, sadly, I've just said farewell to a 20-year marriage. We've just grown in completely different directions, and it's time for him to do him and me to do me. And that's, they're very hard to let go of that life, but it's just not serving me anymore. Again, I come back to that. I'm just not happy, and neither is he. And life's too short to be unhappy. And I'm not suggesting anyone for any second to just leave your relationship if you're not happy. Let me put a disclaimer in there.
There's always moments where you're not happy.
there are, but when the moments become months and in fact years, it's really time to reevaluate things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it is. It's very tough to do that. But, I think it's important that when we do come across that we recognize, is that for our greater good or not? And where to go from there. And I know, look, I've had moments, because as I said, I hang on to people. I've had moments where something's happened that's caused an argument and a conflict. Mm-hmm. Where it wouldn't normally, and I've had to go, okay, universe, I got the idea. I really didn't need to go that far to sever that relationship, and could have done it more peacefully, but it was probably me looking for an excuse way out and shifting blame more onto them as the fault rather than me as the growth. And I was able to step back afterwards and go, oh, look what you did, and recognize exactly what I had done at that particular time. But and sometimes I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that's something that we often do, is we avoid the situation until we keep getting slapped around the head a bit or something happens that changes it for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm a firm believer that our life is happening for us, not to us. And that people they come into our lives sometimes to be the mirror so that we can grow. And yes, it can be painful, particularly if we're blaming and guilting. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we're the only one responsible. We're the captain of our own ships. And so is everyone else. Our job is to be a vibrational match to the new earth energies, which are the peace and the joy and the love, which isn't always possible. Don't get me wrong. I had a client this morning say to me, do you ever go down? And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. But I don't live there. I see it for what it is, and I've got the tools and the skills which I implant in my clients' lives so that they don't live there either, and they can quickly see it for what it is and then pick themselves up out of it.
I remember I spoke to someone the other day, and they had a Dalai No, I was listening to an interview or something, and they were talking about having a conversation with the Dalai Lama, and they said, well, do you ever get angry? And he said, yes, I do, for a second, and then I'm not. And it was really, you know, a great point, because, yes, you can get angry, just don't carry it. And maybe not all of us are as good as letting it go in that second, but, you know, it certainly makes sense to let go of things that aren't going to make you feel good. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? If it's not going to make you feel good, why would you want to hang on to it?
Well, that's just it. You know, if I was to throw you a hot coal, you wouldn't catch
it. No. That's a great analogy. I love that.
You dodge it, you walk away from it.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah, we avoid it, but we take on things, matters of the heart, because we're constantly trying to fix things.
Mm.
Rather than, and that again, that's coming from the head, not the heart. Because if you felt bad about it and it made you feel angry and sad, you would apologize and you would be able to move on, rather than have that argument that sparks that disconnect completely. So it's, look, most of us have spent a good part of, well, almost all of our lives doing life one way, until we reach the point where we figure out, and this is a part of everyone's awakening, that there's got to be an easier way. It shouldn't be this hard. And then the search begins. But again, it's a search within that's going to provide the answers, because none of the answers are outside of us.
Yes. And that, yeah, doing life one way and then making that decision that, so, and that's what makes it hard to change as well. I know many years ago I had a lot of friends that were doing a lot of energy work, and I'd say, and I was just all part of that circle, but not really doing, yeah, that's very nice, that works really well. And then I was sort of given the opportunity through getting vertigo and a few different things that I needed to go, right, okay, wow. I need to just see why and what, and then just moved into it and fully accepted it. And it made, I was going to say, it made no difference to how I was perceived in my corporate, you know, general manager's role. Well, it actually did, I believe, because I was more intuitive. Everything flowed better. I made the phone calls when I need to make them, and was on the ball a lot more. So it certainly helped with that. And it just meant that I could still be, you know, this corporate person, but doing it from a soul space, I suppose is the best way to describe that then, and just going with the flow. And the word that I had to remove from my experience was the word control. And I suppose if you speak to my husband, he'd probably say that hasn't really happened yet. but it's...
We're all aware of that, Janine.
But the control's fine if you don't have, if you're not invested in a particular result. So I'm will always own up that I like control. Everything's quite organized and things go, you know, a certain way. But if they change, it used to be a drama, whereas now it's, all right, let's just change. We'll just do something different. So that's the difference. You can still have, inverted commas, control or organization, or be part of who you are as a person, and to have those things, as long as that doesn't cause you pain. I suppose that's the best way to put it, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And that comes back again to the feelings being the barometer and the guiding light in your life. If it's hurting you, there needs to be a different way of doing things.
Mm. Yeah, and doing things another way and finding that other way as well.
I like what you said, the soul way, because that's right.
Mm. Now, I know that you went, you know, sort of getting on this path for yourself. It wasn't an easy journey, and there were things that happened within your life that shifted the way you did things.
Wow. Yeah, for sure. I think those of us, and there'll be many that are listening, have not done it overly easy in life. I think the bigger the lessons, the more we grow. That doesn't feel like that at the time. But I always knew from a young age that there was more, that there, I was missing something. And I battled the lies of my mind for many, many, many years. We suffered financial destruction. We lost our family home. We lost absolutely everything. My mother had cancer at the time, as did my husband. I truly did lose my will to live. And had it not been for my daughters, I'm really not certain that I would be here. So it took me 2 decades to learn and find the teachers and the guides and the mentors, very much schooling myself because we were doing everything on a shoestring. But yeah, it built up a pretty impressive toolkit along the way. And I believe now that I had to learn the hard way to develop an easier way for people to come through. And that's what I believe I do with people, with enormous compassion and love. Just hold their hand and lead them back to their heart.
Mm. And what you said is very, very true, isn't it? That it's, you know, for me, that was just the vertigo, which was, you know, not as severe as, you know, as what you suffered and what other people suffer as well, before we recognize that we need to look at things in a different way and mm-hmm. and pursue something that is more connected to who we are and making life easier. Yeah, it's mm. yeah, and it is. That's, I mean, that's a huge loss. And with people around you as well suffering, it takes its toll. And I'm sure that there's people listening that will be able to connect with that as well and recognize that. I mean, doing something like that is exhausting, and you lose those resources within yourself to cope. So having that extra depth within your coping mechanism and knowing that it's all going to be all right in the end, whatever way things go, is just a really powerful space to be sitting in.
Yeah, and Janine, I must say too that I was my own worst enemy when I was down at rock bottom. I was very cruel to myself, the way I spoke to myself, treated myself. I hated myself. So the journey was to come back into loving myself and honoring and respecting myself, my being, my soul. And that was the hardest part. But what people are only going to reflect back to us who we really are, not what we're projecting. So you can imagine I did not have good friendships. My family wasn't supportive because I was in such deep hatred of myself. As I look around my world now and I can cry with gratitude of all of the beautiful people in my life. The support, the love, it's so completely different. And that was the biggest lesson.
Yeah, that self-hate is every time I come across this, and even not as much as self-hate, but just disrespecting self and not recognizing, you know, when people don't recognize just how much they've got to offer, it saddens me to see that within people, because there's so much possibility within the world. If just imagine if everyone had a deep sense of self-love, how this world would be sitting now. It would be
a
completely different space, wouldn't it? You know, that you'd be coming from that space instead of coming from that hatred of self. And what you said was really interesting, and I've never heard that before, is you reflect back who we truly are, not what we're showing to the world.
Exactly.
And that is really interesting, because I don't often watch those TV shows that have got, you know, that where people are behaving badly. whether it's a cooking show or a some sort of reality show. I never watch those. But you can't help but if an ad comes on, then you see what's coming up. And I see people there who's complaining about other people's reactions to them, and they're putting on this I'm a really nice person persona, but really
they're ugly. They're really quite ugly inside, aren't they?
And
it's just a matter of time.
It is, isn't it? And that's why I suppose there's certain people that you just go, I just can't connect with you. There's something that, even though you appear to be this really lovely person out on the outside, there's something that it's not working for me.
That's right. And we've all felt that at times. And then it's just a matter of time before the true colors are shown. And as you move forward and you collect beautiful souls to surround yourself with, which is exactly what happens, because we're all here to lift each other up, to help you rise. Once we reach this space of self-love, we look for ways upon which to help others. And we know that if I help you, Janine, that help doesn't have to come back from you, but it will come from somewhere else. And it's a different way of
not looking for it, isn't it? Not looking for that reward as well.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, and if anyone is sitting here listening and feeling that they've got some work to do on themselves, it can be done. I always say the easy way or the hard way, and the easy way is in love. And the likes of yourself, Janine, your army of followers, mine, you know, we just want you to pick up your piece of your puzzle and plug in so that we can help each other rise. And it's such a beautiful thing to actually sit back and watch communities come together and do such good. And it can be quite humbling at times to witness someone's personal development, personal growth, when they've shifted from that space into who they truly are. You can't help but collect friends along the way when you're doing that.
No, absolutely. It's and I just wrote something down that you said. Oh, you said doing the easy way in love, and that's the thing, isn't it? You know, when you're doing something. That's what I used to say to my sons, is that working for you, the way you're doing that? You know, and it's a simple question we can ask ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it working for me?
Yep.
Well, it could be anything that you're doing, you know. It's not necessarily the things we're talking about, but whatever it is, it just asking that question, is that working for me? And then answering that truthfully.
Yeah, I have a beautiful acronym I'd love to share, Janine, and it's TLC. TLC, not tender loving care, although that works well too, but three questions to ask yourself if you're beating yourself up. Is it true? Is it logical? Yeah. And is it compassionate?
Okay.
Yeah. And if it's okay. not is any it true? Of those, yeah, because most of the patterns that we're playing are not true. You know, if someone told us when we were, I actually grew up being told that I was selfish, and I believed that for a good part of my life until I really analysed it and I thought, no, that's not true. That's not who I am. It's certainly not what I do. It's what I've been told. And just hand the label back. It's not who I am. But, yeah, is it true? Is it even logical that, like, can I be a healer and be selfish? No, it's not possible. And is it compassionate that I'm beating myself up, calling myself an idiot? No. So quit it.
Yeah. That when people use that language, it's just that jumps at me each time, and it feels like they've slapped themselves when they've said that, and it's. Yeah, that probably affects me a lot when I hear people do that to themselves, and it'll be something that I do jump in on. And when they berate themselves for something that, and we're all doing the best we can do with the knowledge we have.
Exactly. That's just,
you know, part of our responsibility to ourselves is to gain more knowledge and learn to do things in a way that's going to enable us to flow through life as opposed to struggle. That's probably our biggest responsibility. But other than that, you can just do what you can do with what you've got.
Exactly. Exactly. And as you say, how's it working for you? How's that turning out? Because, you know, if you're in a great space, then keep going. But if you're not, then something needs to shift, and it needs to be done in a compassionate and loving way. I like to always say, I remind my ladies to speak to themselves the way they speak to their children.
And that's you know, that's a lot of the times I say that. How would you treat your best friend?
Yeah.
Would you say that to your best friend? No, of course not. You'd be building her up. You'd be supporting her.
That's
You'd be encouraging her.
For sure.
It's the same to your children as well. Yes, definitely. And what comes out of your mouth is it's heard by your conscious and your subconscious as well.
So and the universe.
You're sort of getting it a few times then. And the universe,
and
yes.
And the universe.
Yeah,
it's so out there.
You want me to Yeah, well, you said that you can't do maths. Well, let me throw all these things at you so it'll prove your point.
Exactly.
You can't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. I love that you brought up that point of, you know, that you're not looking for a reward because you give stuff it all flows around and it eventually drops down where it's needed. Somewhere else will do something. And it was only just a week or so ago, the movie Pay It Forward was back on TV.
Yes.
And it was just such a brilliant principle and it was sad, I mean, the movie obviously, because the boy didn't realize that how much difference it had made to people's lives and people around the world. But it was just, it's a brilliant attitude to have with anything, isn't it? That you just do things for the sake of doing them. And it comes back tenfold. It really does. And it's from the most surprising places as well.
And that's why I'm such a passionate advocate of sacred economics. There are groups and communities doing enormous work in the gifting economy that I've got one Facebook group that is a pay it forward group. And if you don't want something, you just put it up. But you have to give something before you can take something.
I love that.
That's the rule.
Is that what it's called, sacred economics? Is that
No, it's a pay it forward community, pay it forward and the suburb you're in or community. But if you go in the search for groups, pay it forward groups, you'll find them. And it's just beautiful space, beautiful space. There's lots of gifting economies. I follow Lynn Twist. She's doing extraordinary work in the world for women and women's rights. Charles Eisenstein is doing incredible work in terms of bringing forth a new economy. And because what we've got isn't working either, and it is collapsing. So there's new stuff coming forward that is raising the consciousness of the world. And of course it's getting blocked left, right and center because there are those that will resist change. I personally believe that, you know, it's time to go back to our ancient roots. It's time to go back to when we've got enough, we help others. And that is my absolute philosophy. I'm very, very big on it. The pay it forward, the cup of coffee, you know, I never buy one coffee. I always buy one and leave one behind the counter for the next person to come.
Oh, that's lovely. I've got a friend that does that as well. And I interviewed someone yesterday and she had a great statement from Jim Carrey and I haven't got it quite right, but he says, "I wish everybody was as rich and famous as I would so that they could see that rich and famous. Being rich and famous isn't that great. They'd be happy with what they had." And it was a great line from him as from, and that's sort of what you're saying as well. You know, what enough's enough. What is enough as what for each of us?
Well, most of us don't even take the time to define what we deeply desire our life to look like. I'm a big believer of saying, how on earth can you get where you're going if you don't know what you want? You know, we go from one side of town to the other in the car. We put a destination in the GPS, but we don't do that with our lives. We just allow it to do us until we become conscious and we realize that we are creating our reality by our very thoughts and actions and deeds.
I worked with my clients at the end of the year, and not to write goals, but to create vision statements.
Nice.
And that's what they were, just basic one, two sentences at most of what they wanted their life to look like. Mm. And their life included their business as well, but it was all part of the one thing. What did they want it to look like? And there were lovely things that the people came up with. You know, the healers wanted to be able to, you know, provide healing so that people were pain-free. You know, that's it's meant to be general and but really connected with each one. And they were just beautiful statements as well.
What a beautiful way to raise your vibration of your clients as well.
Yeah, and I just loved the energy that went into it. It was a mastermind, so they actually got to chat about it as well, figure out what they wanted, and discuss how that felt and what that brought to them. So it was a great space and great time. I can't believe how quickly this time goes. I think I say that every single podcast. the time just goes on really fast. Is there anything that you want to add? Some takeaway points before we go that I think we've covered lots, but I like to reiterate those points as well.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. So if I would love to remind people that we do go without until we go within. And that is a famous quote by Rumi, but it is so very true. And it is a journey that takes courage, and it will come to you in your own time. Now, the second point I'd like to let people know is that mastering the mind is easier when you understand how energy and vibrational frequencies work. So The Secret did a great job of explaining that, but not fully and thoroughly enough for my way of thinking. But that was 12 years ago now. So if people are curious, then go looking for how energy and vibrational frequencies work. When you start putting your energy forward first before your action, you mentioned this before, you started making that call to that person. You really tapped into the energy of your intuition, of your soul, and let it lead the way. And that's when life becomes much, much easier. The third thing I'd like to do is just to remind people that you are the creator. You are created by the creator, and you are created to create. And that is just such a powerful word to have playing, a mantra, if you like. Just whenever when you're creating whatever it is, you are in control. So choose wisely and create with love and joy and happiness. And it's like putting your boat downstream rather than trying to paddle upstream. It flows.
Yes, definitely be mindful of what you are creating in your life. It is a very, very powerful statement, and it has a lot of influence into what happens in your life, doesn't it, as to what you choose to create for yourself and for the people around you as well, because how your life goes has a ripple effect on those that are within your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely does. And the higher one is willing to step up and make a difference, the more people we can reach and support and help as well. So playing small does not serve us.
No, no. And I've always sort of been of the mindset that if you know better, then you should act better and help others to see that there is a better and better in inverted commas is somebody's perception of better, but a better way to do things. You know, it's that's you not making judgments on somebody because they're not don't have the same awareness or knowledge that you do, but trying to raise them up so that they do have more growth and more opportunity to create the things in life that's going to support them rather than pull them back.
Oh, for sure. I love getting really curious about people when I don't necessarily understand their perspective, because then we can get to the limiting beliefs that are underpinning and we can just see them for that. It's actually not true. And it's quite powerful when people, myself included, you know, I'll catch myself sometimes and I'll think, wow, I'm still playing that old pattern. Must still be some more to clear. And there is this always growing and clearing, and I don't think we ever get there. There's no it's a journey, not a destination.
No, and you'll be confronted with stuff all the time. I had bad service last night, like really bad service in a shop, and I got into this little indignant moment, you know, going, this is just terrible. And I spoke to the manager, because if the next person who comes in doesn't want the same bad service, that person didn't even realize that they'd given such bad service, and it was an opportunity for them to learn and grow if that particular store does training
or get fired.
I think it's true. I think the training was the necessary part. I think that would be useful.
I'm sure it was. That's great. I'm always
How can people contact you, Michelle, and how can they work with you?
Okay, well, easy. I have a website, so it's Michelle Reinhardt. The surname, it's R-E-I-N Finelli, HARDT.com.au. And you can jump on there and click on one of the tabs up the top. There's a few freebies on there as well. You can also book into my calendar if you'd like to explore working with me. I'm very much a speak to me before you buy, because I want to make sure that I'm the right person to journey with my clients. And there are other times that I have said, no, it's not, either you're not ready for me or perhaps you're too advanced for me. And I have a huge network of healers around me that we're out there looking after our clients. We're not looking after our own pocket. So feel free to reach out. You can also jump on to Entrepreneurs Globally Unite Facebook group. There's nearly 6,000 of us spiritual entrepreneurs hanging out in there. And I have a podcast as well, which is the same name, Entrepreneurs Globally Unite podcast. So I would be absolutely thrilled and delighted to meet anyone that is listening, that's vibrating at the right point to have heard our message today, because that tells me that we've got something for each other.
Absolutely. And look, it's been a really wonderful conversation, and there's just so much to think about and take away from what we've spoken of today. And I, you know, there's just so many different points, and I'll, you know, put a whole lot of stuff into the notes of the podcast as well. But look, thank you very much, Michelle. It has just been such fun to speak to you on levels of topics. And as we had a conversation of what I call washing machine conversation, but we definitely didn't have that. It was, you know, things that we can think about and take away and learn from and challenge ourselves as well. So I do appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure, Janine. And if I may just take the opportunity to thank you for the community work that you're doing and support that you're offering people to grow. Don't underestimate that part that you're playing as well. It's massive. And if I could just extend enormous love and gratitude and energy to you and your audience.
Thank you, Michelle. I do really appreciate that. So if anyone is wanting to have a chat to Michelle, you can contact her at michellereinhart.com.au, and Reinhart is R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D-T. And also go check out that the Entrepreneurs Globally Unite Facebook page and Michelle's podcast as well. You can never have enough podcasts. There's always lots around.
And you'll be added to the list.
Yes, I get to. Yes, so check that one out, listeners. I'll be on Michelle's podcast shortly, so it'll be a good deal of fun. So that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And I just, before you go, make sure that when you're listening, you click the stars. If you have absolutely loved it, give it 5 stars. If you thought it was amazing, give it 5 stars. If I'm not giving any other options, just give it 5 stars. Okay. and just have a wonderful week, a wonderful life until we speak again, and join me for another episode. That's me, Janine Vosper, signing off. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.